Hi, I'm Nancy Dufresne. Welcome to our podcast channel. We know you'll be blessed by today's message.
Go with me if you would. I don't have a sermon along this line, so we're just going there. Acts chapter 5, I just had a couple scriptures come to me. See, just two. The paper has two lines, see? Two lines, and so it's up to us to respond and draw and receive. Amen. Acts chapter 5. What I mean when I say David has ruined me, when he's not there, it's like, why isn't David here? Because it just makes things so easy. Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. I want us to read it. It says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought or worked among the people. And they were all with," look at this. What's the next? One accord. Notice miracles and one accord. Miracles and one accord. Signs and wonders, one accord. Why? Because division has no flow of blessing in it. You have to be in one accord because God can't manifest in division. Why? Because there's nothing in Him divisive. So when we want God to manifest, we come into oneness. Oneness of purpose, oneness of heart, oneness of thought, oneness of intent and motive, right? So it says, "And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them," talking about those who were not of that one accord. They didn't just come up and step in. You had to be in one accord to be part of this. It says, "But the people magnified them." Verse 14, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women." So we want the Lord to add. Yes. But notice what was part of the addition is the manifestation of Him. Right. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Miracles and meeting the needs of the people. Yes. And people see that's a place I can get my life answered. Yes. You know, and get needs met. So it's not, we have to let the people know there's something available of why you even want to be joined to this, right? And again, verse 14, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about." So it's okay to travel to get fed. Because everything you need is not always within your convenience distance. It's what you know, faith is not looking for convenience. It's looking for results. Right? "And so there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation," which makes absolutely no human sense. People are getting healed and we're mad. Why? Because when people are in need and people are, they're vulnerable to whoever wants to take charge of those people. That's why Jesus frees us so we're not vulnerable. That's one reason. And it says, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. I love that. People need words. They had miracles. And that was right. But once you receive miracles and you taste of the goodness of God, for your daily life, you need words. Go speak all the words to this life. The devil didn't mind them having miracles as long as they didn't get the words. So they were able to minister to the people and people received miracles. But then the interruption came and says, don't let them move into knowledge. Don't let them hear what God has to say.
That's good. Come on.
So the devil interrupted. Not before the miracles, but before the words.
That's good. Wow.
Come on. Interesting to see this, right? Why? Because when you know words, you're not dependent on people. You're not dependent on the apostle to show up and minister to you. I'm not diminishing what they bring. But I'm saying words make you an intelligent victor. Not a leaning believer. And so the devil, it's very strategic. Don't let him hear words. Words. Why? Words of this life. Why? Because our whole walk in this life is about what we know.
Amen.
Who we know. Not people I'm talking about, but it's about words. And if I could say something to you this week, thank God we love the privilege to minister to people, but that's not the climax of what God is offering you in these services. He's offering you words that you carry back home and you start changing things based on words that land in you. So don't diminish the hearing of words over the desire to see the miracles. Words will lead us to miracles, but I'm saying don't value one more than the other. We need it all. We need it all. I cannot tell you how many times my husband and I would go into other countries. No doubt, Brother David and Cindy and others who have traveled overseas have seen the same thing. I'm thinking of one trip in particular. And I tell you what, the praise and worship was going on and they had great praise and worship. And all the people were in it. All the people were hooked in. And I thought, man, it is going to be so easy to preach. And they sat down and they sat down. And they had no interest in hearing words. They wanted the beat of the music. They liked what appealed to just the soulish. They just held themselves in the soulish. And I tell you, your answers are not in the soul of man. Your answers are in the words of this life. The words of this life. And whether you know it or not, God started out these meetings talking about righteousness because your life is in those words. Your miracles are in those words anytime you need them. Your help is in those words that you are the righteousness of God. You can come boldly to the throne of grace and receive anything you need, anytime you need, whether there's another minister around or not, whether there's another church service on the calendar or not. Anytime you know that you know these words, that I am right with God. I belong in His presence. I have total access. Full access. I am a partaker of the divine nature, the righteousness of God. Amen. And so it's so interesting to note that the devil was trying to interrupt them hearing words, because if they don't hear the right thing, what they received can be easily lost. They are easy targets when they don't know words. Somebody said, no, it was Dad Hagen was talking to some minister. I don't know. He didn't name the minister, the pastor. And Dad Hagen would talk about how he so loved and honored the pastoral office. He said, I would, and he would be traveling at this time. He pastored for 12 years, but afterwards he was on the road traveling. And he said, I would stand in the other room and hear someone present a problem to their pastor. And he says, I would hear the wisdom of that office. Yeah. Answer for that congregation member, the need. Sure. And he said, I would just stand and weep at the outflow of that pastoral office, the words, because that pastor knew what to tell the people in their moment of crisis. And Dad Hagen asked, Dad Hagen was telling it. I can't say who asked it, but there was a man who had a very large church, and the pastor was asked, what's the key to your success? Uh-huh. And he said this, have the right words for the people. They have to have answers. Yes. They have to have answers for their life. If people know they can come and hear answers, they'll show up.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Now, they may come for some other reason for a short time. Amen. I love something that Betty Harrison used to say. He said, what you do to get people, talking about pastors trying to fill their churches, what you do to get them is what you have to do to keep them. So make sure you get them with the word. Because if you get them with a program, if you get them with a social work, if you get them with a music group, if you get them with some kind of outreach, then once that event is over, they're gone. Because that they only came for what they were one with. Dad Hagen would say this, and this is good for pastors to know this. He said there were times that he was invited to participate when a certain evangelist would come to the area, and they would ask him to participate in the meetings. And if they participated and helped and did things, then those who got born again, that evangelist would just funnel those people to those different pastors' churches. And Brother Hagen says, no, thank you, I'm not participating. People would say, why not? And he says, because they're brought in on the wrong thing.
That's right.
Those people that are supposedly getting born again are brought in on the wrong thing. They're brought in on a performance. They're brought in on something, the charisma of the preacher. They're not brought in on the basis of the word. And he said, you can't do anything with that. That's not the fruit that I want in my church. Words of this life. Words of this life. Words. This is what the angel gave them, very specific directions. I'm getting you out of prison so you can give words.
Amen.
And that's still what God is wanting for his people, is words. Because when you have your shelves stocked with words, at a moment's notice, you can draw out that truth. And you can lay it in the place of need. And not only that, you know, Morgan was talking about the book, Victory Over Grief and Sorrow. There's somebody around you grieving. There's someone around you sorrowful. You need to know the right answers. I have pastors that call me. Pastors I haven't seen in years even. Precious people. And they say, I'm entrenched for years in depression. I'm at the end. I can't do it. Can you tell me something to help me? I said, you sure can.
Sure.
I sure can. Mm-hmm. I sure can. Well, I've got words. I've got words.
Amen.
And your answer is in these words, and you value the words.
Right.
How we treat the word is how we're treating God.
Right.
Yeah,
oh, boy.
That's good.
Yeah. So good.
Hallelujah.
His words.
His words.
What's that mean? Be hungry. Be hungry to hear the word taught to you, not just to see something.
Yeah.
Thank God, when we teach the word, we're going to see something. I'm not diminishing that, but I'm saying you need to be hungry for every flow and everything God offers you, not just select things of a service. Amen. Words. Words. Words.
Amen.
Words.
Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Dad Hagen talked about an instance years ago when there was brought to him a child, and Dad Hagen said, I laid hands on that child, but he said that healing anointing didn't go in. The healing anointing didn't go in. And this child was not developing right physically or mentally. And he went back to his hotel room and he prayed for a time and asked God, why did that healing anointing not go in? And God spoke to him, I believe, on the third day of him talking to God about this. And he said, because that child needs a miracle, I've anointed you with healing power. You don't have the miracle. That tangible healing, it's a tangible healing anointing in your hand.
Right.
That child needs a miracle.
Yeah.
That child was born with something missing in its brain.
Yeah.
He needs something created. There's nothing there to heal.
Yeah.
It's missing.
Right.
Something has to be created.
Right. Yeah.
And so, so God said to him, that healing anointing won't work in that situation.
Sure.
The child needs a creative miracle. And he said this. So he said, well, is there no help? And he said, yes. If you can get the mother to agree with you, use her faith.
Yeah.
And the two of you pray in faith, the child can receive.
Sure.
So the next night he asked, is that mother here that had that baby?
Yeah.
That was, I ministered to and came up that she was there. And he told the mother what God said to him.
Yes.
What was what did God say? That words believed will cause brains to be made whole. Words. Words are enough. Words are enough. But see, we only think that something we feel is enough. Something tangible. Listen, I'm not diminishing that. But if you don't have to feel something tangible to receive what words can produce.
Amen.
Can I tell you this? Remember, Brother Joel made reference to it one of the morning services. I think I mentioned it Monday night. When God brought them forth out of Egypt, he brought them forth what? With silver and gold, and not one feeble one among them. And then Brother Joel, the Tuesday morning, got up and said, not one feeble one among them, but not one broke one among them. How did that divine transfer of wealth from the Egyptians take place into the hand of the Hebrews? Words. They heard what Moses said. Moses commanded, said, go demand of your masters. What is this? 400 years of back pay. With interest. And they went and spoke words. No power, no tangible something. They just each went to the master, and the wealth of the household was turned over at words. What am I saying? Don't diminish your words being filled with his words. It's not just your words. It's your words filled with his words. His words in your mouth will accomplish. God told Brother Hagen, he didn't even say about that baby who is missing something in the brain. He didn't say have all the ministers present to come up and circle around, find someone with a miracle. He didn't say that. He said if you can get the mother to agree, the two of you releasing faith, it will do it. Words.
Yes.
Words. And the angel commanded them when they were delivered by divine intervention, go and speak all the words of this life. Not of the words of your circumstances. Not all the words of your religion. The words of this life. The life of God is on the inside of you. What this life will produce.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Amen. I was telling this testimony. I heard it from a person who had firsthand conversation with the person involved in this. And this woman was, I believe, 84 at the time she's telling it. She was telling, let me tell the story. This gal was about 21 years old in another country. She had 4 or 5 children already by the time she's 21. They are all in a car driving down a road and they had a cataclysmic accident. And the children lived, but the mother was instantly killed. Mm-hmm. And she's only 21. And it took off the top of her skull. So there, you know what that means. There's nothing holding everything in place. I'm trying to be gracious. And so when the paramedics, the ambulance arrived, they put her aside because, I mean, she's obviously gone. And everything that had, they just gathered up and laid right by her. And they tended to the children. They got them stabilized, got them in. Then they later came and got a body bag, put her in the body bag with everything there. And they took her body to the morgue. They took the children to the hospital. And they were able to contact this girl's mother. And the mother lived in another state and a half away, basically, from where this had happened. So it would be quite a drive for her to get there. And when they reported and they said, your daughter is dead. I don't know how much description they gave, but she said, oh, all she needs is resurrection power. That's all she needs. She didn't say, oh, all we need is the preacher. All we need is the pastor. All we need, all she needs is resurrection power. What'd she do? She went to words. She went to words. She didn't run to people. She ran to words. She ran to words. She turned to words because everything is in the words of this life. Everything is in the words of this life. Everything is in the words of this life that you need. And so that was her response. See, it matters what word you choose. It, because the words you choose are the words you're spending over your situation. And the words you choose are what you're inviting into your situation. When a pastor asked Dad Hagen years ago, he said, Dad, every time I minister to someone, and he had a large congregation, in my congregation that's fallen into a coma, they've always died. I've never been able to see that change to them coming out of the coma and everything be revived. And he said, am I not ministering effectively? Is there something I need to know about ministering to someone in a coma? And Dad Hagen said, yes, there's something you need to know. You need to know what were the last words they spoke before they went into the coma.
Yeah.
Because he said their words either opened the door to God or closed the door to God. It was words. And he was saying, your faith can't trump their words. Because your words don't mean as much over them as their words mean over them. And so he said, if they said, if they speak words of doubt, words of fear, words of unbelief, he said you can't get the situation turned. It's up to their words. Train yourself in words. Train yourself that your first response is the words that speak the outcome you want. Not the words of your drama. Not the words of the situation. Not the words of relatives who haven't been taught what you've been taught. You got no business laying down truth you've been taught just because of relatives around you that are not going to be as accountable as you are for their words if they haven't been taught what you've been taught. Amen. And too many times people just come with the idea, I just come to services so God can fix this and God can fix that. His primary way he's going to fix things in your life is with words. Giving you words. Value. Love the word. That means you need to be sitting on the edge of your seat, not on the...
Right.
Because you don't know when these words are going to be called for. The words of this life. The words of this life. And so that mother of the young mother said all she needs is resurrection power. See, how many people would have thought to go to those words at that report? Not many. Not many. And so all the way there, she's driving. And it took her about a day and a half to drive there. And she was praying in tongues the whole time. And the daughter was in the morgue. And there was a worker there in the morgue. And he heard something move. And he thought, that's just nerve reflexes. Well, I don't know if he knew this wasn't a chicken. You know, right? But you would want to console yourself that this is just, if you're that worker, this is just muscle reflex or nerve something, you know, that's right. And it happened a couple more times. And he goes, oh, no. And he goes over and unzips the body bag and her eyes open. And he, you understand, he said, no. Why? Not because he didn't want her to live. He said, you're a mess. Physically. You understand, there's things missing now. Vitals. No, because he didn't want her to just be coming to and suffering. But when you're living, you have to be moved from the morgue. He had to follow procedure and had her transferred to the hospital. And the mother arrived and found out she was at the hospital, and the mother climbed up on top of her. And spoke words. Yes. Spoke words. Jesus said, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give, this Amplified Classic, to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue or power and knowledge that comes back to you. Jesus said, I only say what I hear. What's how's he ministering to the people? Based on words. Based on words. Is there anointing? Yes. But the anointing meets the words. You've got to have the right words for the anointing to flow unhindered. Amen. So Jesus valued words. He valued words. So that mama stayed with that daughter of hers just in the hospital, just speaking the word, Just speaking the what is it? The words of this life. And she comes, she basically heals up. She comes back. She comes back mentally as a 7-year-old. That's where they've tested her out. And so for a short time, she's sitting and playing with her own children. She doesn't realize she's their mother. But over a short time, it all just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. And she was perfectly restored mentally. So in her 50s, this girl had grown. She had actually, after this accident, she had another child. And this child became a pastor. And so the mother, not the daughter mother, not the mother mother, the daughter mother. she grew 50 years old, and she decided she wanted to become a private detective. And so she had to go through testing. She loved investigating. And so they sent her. She had to go through certain, you know, just preliminary tests just to enter that profession. And the doctor came in after having done certain tests, and he said, "You can't be alive."
Wow. Come on.
She goes, "Well, I am." Yeah. He goes, "You can't be alive." And she goes, "Why?" He goes, "You have no frontal lobe of your brain."
Oh,
it's gone. God didn't replace it. He bypassed it.
Come on.
Bypassed it. He just bypassed it. Gave her the function of it without the substance of it, because faith is the substance. 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 So there was substance, just not in this realm. But the substance of that realm sustained the lack of substance in this realm. Because faith is the substance that every other substance is born out of. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by words. Don't value tangibility of anointing above words that come out of the mouth of God, because we are on this planet because of words. And you and I are being hosted continually every day, because this planet and solar system and everything of creation is being upheld by the word of His power. Not the power of His word, the word of His power.
God.
You're sustained on this earth because of words.
Yeah. That's right. So good.
Our lives are a product of our words. Our words are product. Our lives are the product of our words. You're born again because of words. Yeah. You're healed because of words. You're peaceful because of words, or you're troubled because of words. Your home is a joy because of words, or your home is harassed because of words.
Yes.
You choose the words of your life. You choose. The devil will offer you words, but you don't have to choose them. Praise the Lord. There's so much you talk about a preaching assignment. Just go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. It takes you the rest of your life to do that. takes the rest of your life to
yes.
do that.
Yes.
All the words of this life. When you come to church, come expecting to hear all the words of this life. Amen. Now go with me, if you would, to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And I'm going to start reading in verse 1. If you ever want to hear the prayer life of Jesus, this chapter is his exact fellowship with his Father. We have snippets of it, you know, when you would hear him pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He went to teach his disciples about praying. But this is a whole conversation that he's having with his Father right before he's arrested. So, John chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, can I tell you this? Have words that lift your eyes.
Yeah.
Not words that cast you down.
Yeah. Amen.
And make sure that when you're looking to heaven, it's proper words for heaven, right? And it says, and he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Wait a minute. I didn't finish the story. I need to finish the story. The mother and the yes. mother, the daughter mother,
yeah.
the mother and the daughter mother.
Yeah.
So they come in when she's 50 and they say, you can't be alive. But she is. She was telling this to a preacher friend of mine at 84 years of age. 84 years of age, she was giving this firsthand account. Because does it matter what the people around your life believe about words? Let me tell you something. You can love your family. Love your family.
Sure. Come on.
Be a light in your family.
Yeah, yeah. Come on.
But live based on the words.
That's right.
Amen.
Of this life, not based on the words of your family.
That is right. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Means you're going to have to stand up sometimes in the face of those you love and say, I love you, but I know something different.
Come on. That's Amen. Good. That's right.
I'm just telling you.
Yes, you do. Amen.
You have to fight for your words yes. to not be changed.
Amen.
By people who mean well and love you, but don't know the words of this life. And learn to surround your life with people who know the words of this life. It matters that you seek out the fellowship of people who know the words of this life and not just the feelings of. Well, okay, verse 3. Jesus, I love this phrase. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. My goodness, you're hearing these things. I have manifested thy name. Wow. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Now look at verse 8. For I have given unto them the words. I gave him words. He, at this moment, is not talking about the miracles. He's not talking about the anointing. And I'm not diminishing that. But he gave them that which all this flows from, the words. The words parent everything. The words are how you move things, receive things. And he said, I have given, look at this. You know, when someone knows they're fixing to leave this planet, that's the time when you're going to hear something that means the most to them. If you'll take advantage of those moments. Jesus knows he's getting ready to leave. And he says, for I have given unto them the words. The words. Not the ministry. So many people are after ministry. Just be after words. Words. Words make you a minister. Having the right words. Then you know what to minister to people. The right words. And so he said, I have given unto them not just words, the words. So not all words are worth having, but the words are. I have given unto them the words, which words? Which thou gavest me. Ah, now now we know. How do we do the same things he did and greater things? We take what he used. Where did he give the words he spoke? He got them from the Father. He said, I gave them what you gave me. In other words, if we will take the words he gave us, then our lives should produce what they produced through him. Because they're the exact same words that God gave him. And God and Jesus passed those words to us and says, now go do the same thing. It's all by words. That's why the devil will, if I could say this, try to devalue words because they're so accessible. Words are something we deal with every day. Every day we deal with words. So we start losing the value of the words because they're just words. But they're not. They're conductors. Words are conductors. They're conductors of something. And we get to choose what's conducted based on the words we choose. It's amazing. It's an amazing system. By words. Remember when Morgan read the testimony and the mother and the daughter? We're going to go to the meeting and you're going to be healed. Words. I didn't do so much. Her words. Her words. She just showed up. I just showed up. Just do that. She made the hard choice. She made the important choice. Because it would have been easy for her to say, I've been this way since October. I'm not getting better. She made the right choice to say, I'm going against every bit of this and I'm getting something different than I've got based on words. That was all her words. And her words created a landing pad for the power of God. Her words did that. Your words do that too. Your words do that. Amen. John Osteen. I heard him tell the testimony years ago. If you can ever get hold of some of John Osteen's sermons, do it. They are so rich. And he told about a woman who came to his church. She was a young mama. She had never been in a church that taught her anything about faith. She had never heard that healing was available. And she had a child that was born crippled, unable to walk, had never walked in its life. And this child, when she came to the church, was about 5 years old. And from the time it was out of a bed, it had just lived in a wheelchair throughout the day. It had never walked, just lived in a wheelchair so she could move the child around. And she heard words at John Osteen's church about healing. She had no idea that her baby could be healed. But when she heard words of this life, she chose to hang on to them. Hold fast to that which thou hast. Hold fast to that which thou hast. People say, well, when I get healing, I'll hold fast to it. You have it before it's ever manifested. Hold fast to that. You have it by words, not by feeling. You're not healed because your body changed. You're healed because of words. Jesus paid the price, but God gave us words to say in the face of sickness and disease, and we have to hold fast to those words so that we hold fast to what we already have in Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And when we do that, things will get off of our health. You are not the sick trying to get healed. You are the healed, and symptoms are trying to rob your health from you. You're not trying to get something. You're getting something off of what's already yours.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
You're not trying to get prosperity. You are the prosperous, and you're saying, lack no more. You get off my supply. You get off my flow. You are not trying to get it. It's already yours. You have already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You don't have to get anything. You've just got to not permit what you already have to be robbed. So you're driving things off. How are you going to do it? With words. Not feelings. Words. Not sympathy. Words. And so this mama got hold of what Pastor Osteen was preaching. And she realized it was her faith, that her faith was going to play a role in this. So I would dare to say maybe she was unconsciously led by the Spirit of what to do. But she decided, for an hour every day, I'm taking that baby out of that wheelchair. Why? Because that baby lives in that wheelchair. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Apart from when it's in bed or in the bath, right. It's in the wheelchair. Right. And you see, you have to violate. Uh-huh. You have to violate things that you get used to. And she didn't just leave the child in the wheelchair and speak to it. She took the child out of the place it didn't belong. And she said, I put the baby on his stomach because he couldn't even sit up by himself. You know, he had no strength. So she would put him on the floor on his tummy and she would just pull him around real slow. And he thought they were having playtime. And the whole time she's saying, thank you for wholeness. Thank you that his legs work. She just worshiped. What's she doing? Words, 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 words. She's choosing her words. Choosing her words and then acting like those words are true. She did that for an hour. The first day, the first week, the first month, the first 6 months, the first 9 months, the first 12 months, every day, an hour. Every day, an hour. How much we believe words will define our consistency.
Amen. Amen.
We're consistent based on what we believe about the words. I mean, if somebody were to tell you, we have this big lottery pot here for you. If you will show up every day for 6 months and buy a lottery ticket, I guarantee you at the end of that 6 months, you will receive this. Would you not show up based on those words? They guarantee you. The words of this life guarantee you something. Show up every day. Show up every day with your faith in those words. And so that's what she did every day. She just pulled that baby around for an hour. This went on for a year. Nothing changing. Nothing looking different. But she held to her words. The devil's after your words. He's after your words. He wants you to let go of your words. He wants you to take on wrong words, to dilute right words. And so after a year, she went one day to pick him up again out of the wheelchair. And this day, he just jumped up and took off running. Why? Because she believed words. She believed words and she kept saying words. When the body said something different, she believed the words more than she believed the body. She believed the words more than she believed the history. Amen. And Jesus said, Father, I have given them the words. The words that you gave me. The words that produced in my ministry and my life will produce the same thing for them. Words. Thank God for our words. We need to get back to what was begun in the infancy of the Word of Faith movement. That is, people paid attention to their words.
Yes, you're right. That is so true.
Somebody asked Charles Finney on an occasion. Charles Finney was a revivalist. Great revivals happened. Much, much fruit out of his ministry. He was in the New England states. There was one revival that went on, I believe, for like a six-month period. Over 100,000 people born again. He would not record you as fruit unless you were in a local church. And there were over 100,000 converts during that period of time. But he didn't do that alone. There was a man by the name of Father Nash who would have his part and he would pray. And really, he didn't even come to the meetings. He would find a home, rent, rooms. Back then, they would just rent rooms of a home to travelers. And he would just hole up in those rooms and not come out and just pray. And pray and pray and pray. And so because people knew of him, but they didn't know him. So somebody asked Charles Finney, what is Father Nash like? And I thought it so interesting. He said, he's a quiet man like all people who pray. Now, what he meant by that is, when you understand your words are a currency, you choose them wisely. You don't just rattle them unwisely. You got around Dr. Sumrall, you got around Brother Hagin, they were warm, they were engaging, but they were so aware of their conversation because they knew they lived by words. I'm just, they weren't rigid in their conversation. They did not speak in scripture and verse, but scripture and verse governed their conversations. Now, that's what you do. It's not like every conversation is a scripture. But the word governed their conversations. Because they understood that the words are the currency of this life. Governing the life of God that's on the inside. Amen. Well, that's what God had for us tonight. Words. Just words. And everyone's got them. And we need to purify them. Learn the words that work for us and the words that don't. Get rid of the words that don't work. And implement and employ the words that do work. And realize this, we can receive what we need on our own from God based just using our words. Amen. Thank God that we have help from others. But our words will move us into that which we desire for our life. Because what you don't want to do is to be a victim of someone else's presence. Meaning this is that you're only helped as long as certain people are present. Words will move you into a help for others. And you can, anytime, you know exactly what to do with your words. Amen. Value words. Stand with me to your feet tonight. Father, we thank you. Are you helped?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We shouldn't be mindless about these things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift up our hands, lift up our voice. We thank you, Father. You know, God helps us to be effective with our words. Not only does He show us and give us the right words, show us what right words sound like, but He helps us to be effective with our words when He says, when the psalmist says, Psalm 34, verse 1, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Why? Because those are words that will produce the right thing all the time. And it's so easy. We need to establish in us the habit, the good spiritual habit of praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, because that's an open door for His power. Amen? Praise should be, if I could say this, our neutral ground. That if we're not having a conversation, we come back to praise. If we're not doing this, we just come back to praise. If we're not at work, we just come back to praise. Just, that's our neutral ground. Amen. And that will hold us in a flow of right words all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. We worship you, Father. Let's do what something.
Praise God. Incline thine ear to my sayings, and let them not depart from thine eyes. Oh, and keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are
So health is as close as your words.
Right?
It's in you. And how do you draw that health into a flow? Through words. Amen. It flows through words. Anytime we want to, we can tap into that flow. Anytime we want to, become a partaker of the divine nature. Remember what it says in Peter, a partaker of the divine nature, not just a container of the divine nature, but a partaker. It's flowing in our everyday life. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you. We glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. Those that you have pain in your lower back, the power of God is moving right now to heal that. All you have to do is say, I receive it. I receive of that. Not only that, give action to that. Move, do something you couldn't do before. We're not checking to see if it worked. We're giving the anointing action. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it. Just move that around. Just move that around. And it seems to me it's like that anointing is centralized in that lower back, but it's radiating up and radiating down. Amen. So in any area of yours, in that area, just receive it. Amen. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. We magnify you. We magnify you. There's somebody that growths that have been in your breast. I don't know if they are malignant or if they're just growths. But you'll find out they're gone now. They're gone now. Hallelujah. So when you go home or a private place, and you'll recognize they're gone now. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We receive that. We receive that healing. We receive that freedom. Mashtakaye. We glorify you. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We glorify. We magnify. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Someone with limited movement in your neck, you'll find out that you have full mobility now. Move that around. Just say, I receive that healing power. Move that around. Move that around. That which would have been hindered, that which would have been a difficulty or painful to move in a certain way, just move that around. We thank you, Father. We glorify you. There's someone's scalp condition that's being healed. A scalp condition that's being healed right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's been something a long time going, and that's being healed right now. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We glorify you. There's internal organs that God's addressing right now. He's not telling me which ones. He just said internal organs. So if that's you, just say, I receive it. Put your hand in that region of the body and say, I receive it. I receive it. I thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We glorify you. Those of you who are watching by live stream right now, or you watch it later, release your faith. Release your faith, because that power will work for you. Why? Because the power of God meets faith. And faith is released through words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. Someone's elbow is being healed. You had fallen on it and had injured that. That's being healed right now. Just move that around. Just move that around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. We glorify you. Just worship him. Just worship him. We glorify you, Father. honesty. You don't have to wait for me to call it out. He's having me to call out some just as a sign that he will address your need if you'll release your faith for it. Amen. God's not offering healing lotteries. Like if your number's called out, good for you. No. No. He's trying to give an example. Amen. If he'll heal them, he'll heal you. Hallelujah. And that needs to be what your words say. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for healing me. I believe it was E.W. Kenyon who made the statement that it pleases God when you receive from him, not because you saw a change, but just based on what he said to you. Amen. So how Abraham operated, he believed words. He believed words, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father.
We trust you've enjoyed this message. Visit us at DufresneMinistries.org to learn of our upcoming meetings, share your testimony, become a partner, or visit our online store. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Dufresne Ministries.